Hey, we're going to turn this morning to the Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40. These will be very familiar words to most of us. The little indication at the top of the psalm, it says this was a psalm of David. And these words are words that have come from David's heart, and we want to read them together this morning and to think about what God is saying to us through them. Maybe just as we come to God's word, we just take a wee second just to bow before him and to ask that he blesses us in our time here today. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your goodness to us despite all that is going on around us. And we thank you for this precious book that we have open in front of us today. We thank you for your word, our Bible. And Father, we would just bring before you today this particular psalm. And we ask it even now as we read down through these verses and as we take some time then to just open them up and to think about the meaning of them. Father, we pray that even as we enter into the mind and heart of David as he wrote these words at this time, Father, we would just pray that you would take the words and you would apply them to our hearts and to our minds. Make the application real to us today. And we would just pray that no matter who we are, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what anxieties, worries, cares we have going through our mind today, Father, we pray that your word would bless us and it would strengthen us and it would uplift us. We pray just for the help of the Holy Spirit to take the word and to apply it to our hearts. And we pray that even I would know your help as I seek even to explain the meaning of these verses. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 40, the verse 1, David says the following. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in thy great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish my evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Oh my God, entering a reading there at the end of the psalm. I'm sure most of us will be familiar with a little verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. When those of us who are Christians, we are reminded to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, we're not given the full background. We don't know the exact context. But it would seem that the people that Peter was writing to, it seemed that they were somewhat shocked at the fact that they, as God's people, were getting it tough. For some reason or other, presumably they reckoned or they supposed that once they became Christians, that from that point on, life was going to be rosy, life was going to be fine, that no more problems or trials were going to come across their pathway. And so for that reason, when trials came, it was actually something of a shock to them. And that's why, therefore, Peter had to remind them in a very definite way that going through tough times, having trials, that rather than it being a strange thing, it was actually a normal thing. Now, if Peter had wanted to choose an example to back up the truth of what he was saying, well, no better candidate could he have chosen than the guy who was responsible for writing this psalm that we have read together. King David, and I'm sure many of you will be aware, King David, he was described as a man after God's own heart. And yet, even though he was a man after God's own heart, there were many times that we could say, despite the fact that he was a man after God's own heart, he slipped and he slid, he failed and he fell, he made mistakes. Despite the fact that he was a man after God's own heart, he had many trials, many troubles, many different problems. And as you read through the book of Psalms, you will discover that very often when he went through those troubles and trials, he described exactly what he was feeling. He shared it with us through the Psalms. This Psalm that we have read together this morning, Psalm number 40, well, it's an example of one of those Psalms or one of those occasions. And the great beauty about this Psalm is when we read down through it, not only are we given an insight into what the psalmist was thinking at that particular time, but it also reveals to us how he coped. Now, obviously, coronavirus is very much a topic of today. It will be on the minds of most of us. And as well as that, there will be a whole range of other problems and difficulties that are affecting different people for different reasons. And so what I want us to do this morning is just simply to look at this passage. And what I want us to learn from it is how to deal with difficulties David's way. And you know something? In some ways, David's way was actually, it was a very simple way, because here's what David did. David basically, he looked at the present and he looked at the circumstances around him. He thought about the past and how God had helped him. And when he did this, not only was his soul lifted, but his spirit was strengthened, and he was therefore able to pray confidently, believing that the future was under God's control. He was able to cope with his present circumstances because past situations inspired him to believe that sooner or later, God always comes through for his own. Let us take a little bit of a closer look at the passage. There are a number of words that I have used to describe what is going on here. I'm not the biggest fan of alliteration. Sometimes I think it's very forced, but as I looked at this chapter, it just so happened the words I chose to describe it just all happened to start with the letter P. And the first word that I want to think about here is the word praise. And we're focusing our attention here in verse number 3, because the psalmist says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Now, let's not get the wrong picture. Look down at the verse number 12, and you'll see exactly how the psalmist feels. He says that things are so tough he can hardly lift up his head. He says things are so tough that his very heart feels as if it's failing inside his body. But yet, despite all of this, he's still able to praise. We're going to look at some of the things that he praised God for, because that's what the theme of his song is. That's what he says here. He has put a new song in my mouth. He's singing, and the theme is praise. Praise unto our God. But just before we look at the detail of what he praised God about, we challenge there in that verse 3. You notice that as a result of what God had done in the life of the psalmist, people could notice a difference in the words that came out of his lips. And people could see a difference in his actions. And the ongoing result of that was when they looked at the life of David and when they seen the difference in his life, it encouraged them and it inspired them to also put their trust in God. And the follow through is this, that as a result of the Lord's dealing with us, our lips and our lives should be changed. When people hear our words and see our actions, they should see the difference. And the difference should be so great that they in turn seek the Lord. But unfortunately, all of us, you and I, we all fall so short. We allow the lines to be blurred and people don't see the difference in the things that we do and the things that we say, so sadly, myself included, that rather than becoming a signpost to Christ, we actually become a stumbling block. But let's look at the things that David praised God for. You can see that he praised God for God's deliverance. We're thinking here of verse number 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And very often this verse is used as a picture or an illustration of what God does for us when he saves us from our sin. And when you look at the context and what's being described and the language that's used, it's very easy to understand why. Here's this man and he's in a pit and he's probably cold and he's wet and he's hungry and he's despairing. And it's a picture of us when we were in the pit of sin and headed for the pit of hell. And God heard our cry. And God rescued us. And if we're in that position this morning and we are those that are saved, we can say, despite all that's going on around us, we can say with the language that's used here in verses 1 and 2, we can say, he has heard my cry. He has lifted me from the pit. He has set my feet upon a rock. He has established my goings. Although, I don't actually think that's what the psalmist had in mind when he wrote these words. I think the psalmist was actually referring to some specific occasion in his life when he got himself into a really tight spot. A time when he was walking along the path and he fell into a pit and he cried unto God and God reached down and God delivered him and God took him out of the muck and mire that he had got himself into and God set his feet back on the path and established his way. He's thanking God for his past deliverance. Listen, he's also thanking God for his ongoing goodness. Look at verse 4. He says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. He's speaking here about the child of God. And he says the child of God is blessed. Why is the child of God blessed? Well, look at verse number 5. He says, the child of God is blessed because many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This isn't some one-off occasion in the past. This is ongoing goodness from the hand of God. And despite all that's going on, David is thrilled to think that God is thinking about him. And God is continually pouring out his goodness upon him, even in the small things. A hymn writer from many years ago, he put it like this, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. A more modern song puts it another way. It says, you're rich in love and you're slow in anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'd worship your holy name. As we read on down through the verses, you'll see many other things that David praises God for. Verse number 8, he praises God for his sovereign will. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Even though things were tough around him. You see, David had this fundamental belief that God is sovereign. That God is in control. And that no matter what else happens, the best place to be is in the center of God's will. He also praised God in verse 8, praised God for his holy word. He says, thy law is within my heart. Oh God, things are tough, but I have something sure. I have something that will help me. I will have something that will give me stability. It's your word, and it's in my heart. He praises God for his ongoing faithfulness. Look at verse number 10. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. You see, David knew right up until this point God had been faithful to him. God had never let him down. His faith in other people had failed and fallen, but not in God. God has been ever faithful. And so he praises God for all of these things. Child of God, let me encourage you this morning. There's so much negative stuff. And so much stuff to bring us down. And so much stuff to make us sad. But nevertheless, in the midst of all of this, we who are God's children, we have something to praise him about. We can praise him for the fact that we're saved. And no matter what happens, this body, we have been spared from hell and we're going to heaven. We can praise him as we look back on our lives for situations in the past where he has delivered us. We can praise him for the temporal mercies that he gives us day by day. And I've been thinking about the blessings that we receive, especially during this time of trial. And, even things that perhaps we take for granted. Family. Friends. Even social media. It's a blessing from God at this time because even though times are difficult, it's a means of being able to communicate with each other. It's been a means of being able to meet the needs of others, and even the means this very day of being able, God's word, to be able to share it with us. Think how much different this situation would be if we didn't have the social media. We can praise God for his sovereign will. The confidence that we have that he is still in control. Praise him for his word that in these days gives us stability and gives us assurance. And praise him for his faithfulness. The God who has never let us down before won't let us down now. But listen, look again, because not only do we see here praise, but we also see patience. The verse number 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And there's something that I've come to realize that as you study through the Bible, you will discover that very often when God moves to help his people, it's after a period of waiting. It's after a period of patience. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. God was going to deliver them, but first of all, they had to wait through the 10 plagues. Hannah desperately wanted a child, and God was going to give her one. But she had to pray for all of that time. Naaman was full of leprosy and God was going to heal him, but he had to dip himself in the river 7 times. Elijah was praying for rain and God was going to bless the nation and God was going to take away the drought. God was going to give the rain. But still Elijah had to pray for an extended period of time. Mary and Martha, their hearts were broken. They were in despair. And God was going to work a miracle and God was going to turn their lives around. But yet there was the period. There was the period of waiting. Why does God make us wait? I don't know all the answers. Sometimes it's simply for God's purpose and sometimes for his plan. And sometimes it's also for our growth. You see, this guy here in verse 2, he's in the pit. And I'm pretty sure he didn't call out in the first few seconds that he fell in. I'm pretty sure that he tried every method that he possibly could to get himself out of the pit. And he tried to climb and he clambered and he exhausted every method. And it was only after he realized that there was no way that he was going to get himself out of the pit, it was only then that he started to shout and to cry in the hope that someone would have mercy on him and pull him out. Morris shared a verse on Thursday night. Be still and know that I am God. Philip Bowles also shared the same verse on the internet last night. And you know, sometimes that's one of the most difficult things for us as Christians. We always want to fix things. We always want to have solutions. And it's hard just to be still and let God be God. But sometimes we've got to do what the psalmist did here and just patiently wait on the Lord. I see praise. I see patience. I also see problems. Let's come down to verse number 12. We've already referred to the verse. We've already spoke about the impact that these things had on David's life. But look at verse 12 and look at how he describes it. He says, innumerable evils have compassed me about. David says, I'm surrounded on every side. And as we've already indicated, the impact that it has upon him, he doesn't even want to lift his eyes and look up. His head is hung so low. He's so much in despair. We're not sure of the exact circumstances. Some think that it was due to the time when he was hated by Saul. Others think it was during the time when Absalom led the rebellion against him and stole the hearts of his people. And the sad thing is, if it was either of these situations, it wasn't the heathen nations that were causing him the problem. It was actually his own fellow Israelites. And perhaps that's why he said, and for example, in Psalm 41, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 55, he gets the subject again. He says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me then, I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. And here's what I start to realize. I start to realize that even though if it was either of those occasions, either Absalom or Saul, there was a physical danger to David's life. But actually, when you read these verses, and you will realize the real problem that David was struggling with, it wasn't the physical danger. It was the psychological and it was the emotional turmoil that he was going through. And listen, as we think of coronavirus, of course, it's a physical problem. Many people today are sick because of it. Many people today have lost their life because of it. But you know the real struggle that most of us actually have with it? It's a psychological and an emotional problem we have with it. Many who are listening to my voice today will be confined to their own homes, their social distancing. And they've been cut off from the outside world and they're away from family. Not able to interact with loved ones, not able to attend significant occasions, and that's all having a struggle on their mind. Maybe there's someone who's an employee and or someone who runs a business, and there's the fear of what will happen out the other side and where will we be financially. And there's so much fear going on in our mind and so many struggles emotionally. Maybe it's nothing to do with coronavirus. Maybe it's some other issue. Maybe there's a spiritual battle going on in your life. Maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you've slipped, you've slid. Maybe you've let the Lord down and Satan's given you a hard time. So many other issues that are playing havoc with our mind. But you know what David's doing here with all of these problems? He's bringing them to the Lord. Because he's confident that the God who has been there for him in the past sees his present and can be depended on for the future. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Again, to put the words in a more modern context, my troubled soul, why so weighed down? You were not made to bear this heavy load. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares. He cares for you. Prayers, patience, problems. Let me say a wee word quickly about penitence. Look again at verse 12. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. You see, David, when he looks at the circumstances all around him, he takes a wee bit of time for self-examination. And he comes to the Lord and he confesses and he says, Lord, he says, I've examined myself. And he says, part of the problem, this what's going on here, he says, my iniquities have taken hold on me. And you know, sometimes, sadly in life, that's exactly what happens. When we get ourselves into trouble and into problems, is it because of the things that we have done and the times that we haven't been faithful and the times that we have given in to sin and the times that we have slipped that problems come? But nevertheless, in times of trouble, it's good to self-examine. And maybe when we look at all that's happening in the world around us today, maybe it's time to examine all of our lives. And particularly those of us who belong to the church. And when we think of where we have been in recent years, and when we think of where our priorities are and what we've been doing and where our focus has been on life, maybe this is a time of re-examination. There's a post on Facebook at the moment, many of you may have read it, but let me read it to you. It's a quote from C.S. Lewis that was from 1942, but how current it is. I don't know the context, but here's what it says. It says, Satan said, I will cause anxiety, fear, and panic. I will shut down businesses, schools, places of worship, and sports events. I will cause economic turmoil. Jesus said, I will bring together neighbors, restore the family unit. I will bring dinner back to the kitchen table. I will help people slow down their lives and appreciate what really matters. I will teach my children to rely on me and not the world. I will teach my children to trust me and not their money and material resources. And could it be that God is saying to us as a church and God is saying to us as individuals, you know, it's amazing. In our own community, a WhatsApp group has been formed of all the neighbors, and they're doing collective shopping and running errands for one another. And to my shame, over the last week, there's people that I now consider friends that other than waving at in the car on the way past, I've had little or no contact with. Those are people that I could have been reaching. Those are people that I should have been reaching. And I don't even know them. And as God's saying to us, it's a time for re-examination. Let me say a word quickly about petitions, and I'm not going to go into this, but see, if you read down through the verses, you see that David has very specific petitions. He prays for himself, that he would know God's help and deliverance. He prays for the evil that he fears, that evil would be pushed back. He prays for the body of believers, that not only would they seek God, but that after they seek God, that they would rejoice in the Lord and be glad in Him. He prays that through everything that is happening, God's name would be glorified. He prays that they would soon see God move. And those are all petitions that we would do well to pray in this day. Then there's another word, and it's the word peace. Because you see, as we move down towards the last couple of verses, I believe the mood changes. The tone is different. Here's a man who a few moments ago was in despair, and now he seems to have a peace about him. Why is that? Because as he has prayed, he has unburdened his heart. As he has prayed, he has reminded himself that God hears and answers prayer. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. As he has prayed, he has convinced himself and reminded himself that God, who is sovereign, will rise to his help and deliver him. Verse 17, thou art my help and my deliverer. The hymn puts it like this, stead upon Jehovah, Hearts are truly blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. It comes from Isaiah 26 and the verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It's difficult to get peace in these days. And we try to do a lot of things to bring peace to our mind and heart. But real peace is found by following the steps of David. As I close, there's one more word with the letter P that I want to leave with you. And it's the word prophecy. You see, one of the really fascinating things about this psalm is the fact that even though it was written by David and was focused on David's difficulties, it was prophetic. In so many ways that we don't have time to detail this morning, it describes the life and circumstances of Jesus Christ many hundreds of years later when he would come to this earth. And just as the circumstances that surrounded David were a pointer to the coming of Christ, so I believe that the circumstances that we find ourselves in today are a pointer to the fact that there is some prophecy still unfulfilled, and to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth. And so there's a challenge to us as we look at events around us, a challenge to us to make sure that we're ready. Perhaps there's someone listening today, and you're not saved. Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. And as far as you're concerned, because you've still sin in your life that's uncleansed and unforgiven, you're going to go to a lost eternity. You need to be ready by accepting Christ as your Savior, believing that when he died on the cross, he took the punishment for you. Turn from your sin. Put your trust in him. Those of us who are saved, we need to be ready. We need to be up and about and doing work for the Master while we have still time and opportunity. But this, when I think about this prophecy, you know what it also reminds me? It reminds me that God is the God of detail. It reminds me of something that I hope has been coming through the psalm from the word go this morning. It reminds me that God is sovereign. That God has a plan. That God has a purpose. That God has a timeline. And that nothing takes God by surprise. And nothing takes him unawares. And therefore, what we are seeing in this world all around us today, while it's disturbing and while it's troubling, it's part of God's plan. It's part of God's prophecy. And if you and I want to have peace in the midst of everything that's going on, then we simply need to put into place the steps that the psalmist gives us. We need to think about God's goodness and praise him. We need to pray and present our petitions unto him. And what we also need to do is just simply need to wait patiently on the Lord. In just a few minutes, we're going to close our service with a song that one of our members, Lynn, has recorded for us. And it just simply takes up this theme about waiting on the Lord. And I trust that as we listen to it, the words will be a blessing to us. And that we will just start simply learn to know peace by waiting on the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, as we have already noticed, that your word is something for us in times of trouble. And we pray that even as we have read it today and looked at it together, Father, we pray you'd make it a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen.